G'day, putters.
Welcome to the 5 for 5 podcast.
These podcasts are brought to you by puntingform.com.au.
All of our analysts use puntingform.com.au sectionals, database and worksheets on a daily basis.
They are the grouse.
G'day, punters. Welcome to the Mailbag Review Show. Pistol Pete jumping into the captain, Jack Dickens' chair. He is MIA this week. He's just having a freshen up, getting ready for what is going to be a hectic spring carnival. So it is myself and Drew to review the Flemington program. Drewzy, how's things?
Oh, pretty good, mate. Had a pretty good Saturday. I stayed out of a lot of races. It was just one of those weeks where I just looked and I said, I don't want to be betting much this week. It just stunk, this card, and even up north in Sydney. So I just said, I'm going to put it away a bit. It's good to have a little bit of a break. I think you know that, right? It's always good just to try and have a week off. So
yeah, I think I completely agree. Like by design, or not by design, but just coincidentally, I think all three of us had pretty small unit outlays for the Saturday, yeah. Which is always an interesting proposition because you sort of go, well, you know, there's no point jumping into things if it's really no value and you don't like the card or you're having difficulty with the track, whatever it is. Speaking of which, the track itself, how do you think it played?
I thought it was pretty fair overall. I thought tempo played a large part in it. I mean, you just have a look and prime example is Wink shouldn't have been able to win from where she was with that tempo, but class prevails when, you know, it needs to prevail. So, look, overall, at Flemington, you want to be sitting midfield rather than dead last? Of course, every single time of the week. But I think, you know, if you've got the right horse, you can still win from there.
Alrighty, well, we'll get cracking straight into race one. It was the Mary Benong Trial Stakes, all two-year-olds, all babies. They went at about four lengths or so slower than benchmark, according to punting data. And it was the old faithful, Gay Waterhouse. Two-year-old went straight to the front, led the whole way.
Yeah, I think this is a really impressive horse. I think what it's done there, now, it's had a very easy time out front, so by all means, you can hate on it all you want for that, but the puntingform.com.au data just backs it up. It was a really strong victory. Coming out of the race, Sun City's been really slow out of the gates. It's put its head up in the air. Craigie's restrained it a bit. It's got back. It's flown home 3.5 lengths faster than class benchmark from an unwinnable position. It was probably the run of the race. Outside of that, the Astrologist was backed really heavily. It had run its race before the barriers, according to, I'm looking at Dicko's notes here, and I have to say I saw it going to the barriers. It looked absolutely stirred up, and just looking at the stewards report, backs that up as well. So three sources are saying the same thing to me, so I just have to give that horse, and it'll probably start a decent price next start, and if it behaves itself, it might be one to back.
As you said, I think Dicko as well probably found the winner was in really good order, but it just had one little negative. So I guess almost ominously, it could actually improve next time we see it out and about.
And I think you'll find with first race of the day, you're not sure what's going to happen in terms of how horses turn up. And just going through his notes, which we have the benefit of, this negative, I think, showed its hand throughout the day and didn't turn out to be that much of a negative compared to what it normally would be.
Yeah, a little bit of climactic changing, I would imagine, there. Race two, I'm not even going to say the brand, that's just fucking stupid. It was a stakes race over 1400, listed race.
For three-year-olds.
For three-year-olds. Wild Planet got up over the, you know, the flashing light and the unluckiest run that anyone's ever seen, apparently, according to some. But Hugh Bowman couldn't get Rainier out if he had a lubricant and a vat of Vaseline. But look, it wasn't a particularly fast run race. It was pretty much benchmark. Wild Planet sat three wide the trip and was pretty strong at the finish, which I think is probably a really good run in hindsight.
I think Dwayne Dunn should be commended for this run. He's kind of, you know, been a little bit slow out. Horse hasn't had the speed. And he's just decided instead of snagging back to last or anything like that, trying to get cover, he just slowly progressed through the field a little bit by little bit by little bit along the way, three wide, no cover. But they weren't going overly fast. So he was able to do it. He gained ground. And by the turn, coming in the straight, he was sitting outside the leaders. He didn't need luck. And that's the difference that's happened here. He's been on the best horse, he's got the run, and the horse has just kept finding. It's actually gone 3.2 lengths faster than class benchmark home, despite being three wide the trip. That's a damn good run. Like, I can follow that run forward, no matter what people are saying. Rainey is a moral beaten, and don't get me wrong, you could have fit a semi trailer through that gap that Huey had sitting there for about 100 meters, and he didn't even look over and take it. I'm actually dumbfounded that the stewards have severely reprimanded him, and he hasn't been suspended for this. Like,
how good would it have been? It would have been so good if they had banned him and it had coincided with the Cox Blade or something like that. It's probably just a little bit too long in terms of the time. But
that's why they haven't. Would it have been? That's clearly the time of year. I don't get it. You saw the run.
Yeah.
There was a run there to take, and any other jockey takes that run and wins on the horse, right? And as a punter, you're meant to be protected by these stewards in this situation, I would think.
It was just, it's a garbage run, but let's face it, Huey's got more, you know, more important things on his mind. How often do we have to say it? It's like every single week it's the same thing. It's like, don't back Bowman until, you know, he's got the major race out of the day with Winks. And then, like, we saw him on the runner in the last race, Invincibella. It's like a different jockey. All of a sudden, it's just, you know, it's brutal. But you've just got to factor it in. It's part of your pricing all of a sudden. If you want to be backing Bowman on a favourite, good luck. Yeah.
I sound outraged, but I didn't back Rainier. So, and that is 100% exactly right. What you've said is if you back Bowman before a Winx run, that's what you get. Just looking at a few others in the race, outside of the obvious, Big Night Out, it was actually really well backed, and it's come home 4.2 lengths fast in class benchmark. It was a really good run. And I think the hidden run of this race is a horse that I can follow forward. I love this stable, Murray Baker Stable. I think Peaceful was a really good run. It was just held up luckless. And the way it went through the line, just, I think it could have been well in that finish if it got the right run. So I want to be following that horse forward.
Again, had a few little negatives from the yard as well. So again, might be one that can improve next time out.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, exactly. Race 3, 1400 meter listed handicap, all that sort of stuff. Again, benchmark tempo over the 1400 meters. And Eckstein got home. Flashed home and got the job done.
Yeah, Sydney horse, I'm pretty sure. Holbein, geez, this horse has been really well back 2 weeks in a row and just found absolutely nothing. I just don't know what to make of it, and it's a horse that you just could not back with confidence anywhere going forward.
Well, they backed it as a leader, I guess, but I mean, it's only run benchmark, so
yeah,
you just have to pin it, don't you?
Has to be something wrong with the horse. That's all you can figure based on its last two runs. Outside of that, geez, coming for home, I know with the movers we'd backed Sir John Lavery, and I tell you what, Benny Mellum's made the wrong decision. He's gone from inside run instead of an outside run, and it's closed up on him. Geez, that horse was bolting. I swear it wins the race if it gets the right run. That's not being too biased. This was one of the horses on the day that I backed, and I didn't back many others outside of this, I'll put it that way.
I think he was a victim of circumstances, wasn't he? I mean, at no stage was he ever going to get out of that position, because they all sort of came up alongside him. He couldn't go out, he couldn't go in. I guess the mistake was made, if it was a mistake, so to speak. If he'd pushed on to really try and lead on the horse, he might have had a better chance, obviously, of being able to dictate. But yeah, as soon as that, the gaps, they all basically ganged up around him. He wasn't getting out of that at all. So you sort of feel for Benny in that situation. But yeah, I mean, it was a reverse flashing light, so to speak. It was one of those that can sometimes bob up and you might get a little bit of a price next start, because some of the market might have thought it was a bit disappointing in the end anyway.
Speaking of a bit of a price, Spanahead's ran really well for second. It opened 51s and they backed it into 16s. And I can tell you the negatives from the yard coming out of this stable as well, which had the ban on it from running because of the whatever the virus is that they get, that's pretty bad. That they basically shut down the stable.
Was it strangles? Is it the strangles or something like that? Or?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, the strangles. Yeah. So I think Archie Alexander's coming back into it. I think this horse is going really well, and they can jump back to a Wednesday meeting with Spanahead and just steal something. You'll probably get eights, I reckon.
Yeah, not a bad run whatsoever. Yeah, and as you said, there's more negatives there than Bowman had for the day. So, can definitely improve, that's for sure. Race for the 1,800-metre listed race for the three-year-old. This is for the boys, isn't it, Drew?
You know, I put down three-year-olds, but I actually didn't. I don't think it's got a...
Yeah, it's just three-year-olds then.
Yeah. I'm going to say for Dicko here, Jesus is frustrating backing Wheel Horses and backing them at the time we do when we have to send out the text. So I think, as everyone knows, when you're running a text service, you're trying to get the information to people so they have enough time to get their bets on. And that means you cannot adapt what you're doing for what happens late on Betfair. And Savia's blown late and Extra Brute has been absolutely smashed in. And guess what's happened? Savia's led them around at a brutal tempo, absolutely set it up, and Extra Brute's just probably been one of the runs of the day, to be quite honest, when you look at its sectionals. It's that 11th in run, while the next three home were 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So it's the only one that's run on. And it's broken 12 seconds, the final 200 metres. It's the only horse that broke that for the race, and it ran 11.68. So it's absolutely flown.
It was just in the right position. As you said, it probably was on the tail end of being too far back. It was probably, if it was any further back, it wouldn't have been able to get there, so to speak. But do you know what the actual flux were late in betting? I must say, I was actually just on to this really late, so I probably missed the actual early price that Dicko would have sent to that. I sort of just jumped in really late and backed it because it is one of my horses, Extra Brute, and as soon as I saw it in the numbers, I was jumping on.
Just for you, I'm pulling it up right now. Here we go. Yeah, it's about $5.80 into $5 type of thing. So
nice.
A bit of money for it, yeah. Whereas Savior was about $2.70 out to threes. So, you know, they're just kind of reversed in their situations on the fair. Just quickly outside of that, there are a couple of horses that I think are worth mentioning. Sikorsky sat outside Savier and fairly beat it. I thought it was a really good run. I think it's got a bit of improvement as well from the yard notes. Thunderdome pulled up with EIPH. I believe that was one that Dicko bet, so that's just a forgive. And there was a 300-to-1 shot called Exclusively Ours. It's run an absolute blinder from back in the field. It's run fifth, and it looks the type that'll probably be suited up to, you know, further distances. So, geez, I wouldn't be discounting it next start.
Interesting sort of race going forwards, I think, anyway. But at least given that it was run at a good tempo, it's probably one of the better ones to follow out of this meet. Race five, the Turnbull Stakes, 2,000 metres, Winks. Winks, Winks, Winks. Well done to Dicko for getting Youngstar up at a good price with a really nice bet on the place. And we briefly talked about it before, but Kingswood Dream and Ventura Storm are probably two ones that you really need to follow going forwards. But if Kingswood Dream was maybe tuned up for this race, it could have proved to be really difficult to get past.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting thing going forward. As a lead into a Caulfield Cup, do you want a horse running in a race like this that's been extremely slowly run? Do you think a horse is getting the maximum out of this heading to a Caulfield Cup? Or would have you preferred it was benchmark or better run times, realistically, from your point of view as a yard guy?
I always want the harder run races.
Yeah, I think this will have Kingswood Dream a little bit underdone, considering where it is in its preparation. I'd be just a little bit worried with it going to the Caulfield Cup. I mean, I think it's already short in the market for where it is. And look, Weir's a genius, so you probably shouldn't doubt him, but it's not the type of run that you want leading into it, I would have thought.
No, not for me personally. But again, like, there's so much that can happen between now and Caulfield Cup Day anyway. I mean, let alone how the track's going to play. That's probably one of the biggest factors going around.
Yeah, fair point on that. So just quickly on the race, they've gone 7.7 lengths slower than class benchmark, with Trap for Fools leading them. From the yard, Dicko's clearly found Youngstar. I do note that Winks Outmarkers was paying a bit more than $6, which is a bit painful, that we obviously can't send that type of bet out because not everyone has access to it. So you can only send the place bet, and that's what you do. One of my mates, Grunt, everyone's saying the horse is gone. Now, there were some key negatives, I think, that Dicko's noted about the horse from between runs. So, look, there may be some queries with the horse going forward, but I would just say its last two runs, it has not been suited by the tempo. So if you're still looking to back it to place in the Cox Plate, if it's fine, fit, and ready to go, it'll get the race run to suit. So I think people are being very harsh saying that this horse is a pretender and that it's, you know, it's done. It's just a horse that wants a hot speed.
Exactly right. I mean, it's completely different sort of setup to what it faced at Flemington. And on that day, he paraded just outstanding order. And horses can obviously have a bad day, just like any of us. So, and you have a look at John Snow as well. We were pretty keen on John Snow in the yard on that same day at Flemington. And again, same thing. Like, it's just such a slowly run race. It's hard to take much out of it whatsoever, other than the fact that Winx is a fucking superstar. And Hugh Bowman is lucky that he didn't give himself, Chris Waller, and the rest of the country a fucking heart attack. But, outside of that, I guess you're looking at the horses that improved physically. And that looks like it's, you know, Ventura Storm's probably the main one there. So you can actually take a little bit of confidence with it going forward and probably Youngstar. But outside of that, yeah, you just push on and you wait for them all to appear next start and see what sort of order they're in.
Yeah, I would say Ventura Storm can run off a soft or a hard tempo, but I do think its best is found off a harder tempo than that. So, yeah, it's a good lead-in for that horse. I would be wary of where Youngstar goes off that platform if it's going up in distance, personally. I think I have to respect what Dicko said about the horse. So he's probably said this is his standout horse outside of Winx from the day. So I have to respect that a hell of a lot. So I definitely wouldn't be laying it anywhere it goes, but I do think it's going to start really short in potentially like a Caulfield Cup or something based on that run.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Race 6, the Gilguy Stakes, over 1,200, Group 2. Again, benchmark sort of speed, and saw I'm Excited get over the top of Eduardo and Bonds Away, which was pretty painful for movers because we backed both Eduardo and Bonds Away, and they both sort of loomed as if they were going to get the job done, and then I'm Excited came over the top. But credit to the great man, Dicko. Well, he found all three of them in order almost, I think, or he's got the trifecta anyway.
Yeah, this is a quite interesting race, as you said. Only, you know, 0.3 length separates the three of them. Eduardo's a tough bugger, I tell you. It just keeps on finding. It looked gone at the 200, then it kept finding. Looked gone at the 100 and just kept finding. It just gets nosed out by I'm Excited, who's absolutely exploded from the clouds. You should have seen it hit hundreds at least, I'm pretty sure, in the run. It's run the fastest 200 of any horse that's come out of a race that's been run fast in the class benchmark the first 600 metres. So it's the only, it's clearly the run of the day for mine based on what it's had to do to get home. It was just a sensational run. The horse is flying. Outside of that, Dreamforce was really disappointing. They backed it from 14s into 550, found really nothing. I think Quilista had a few negatives and they've had it up a while, but I don't think they've had it going very well. And I think they're just probably starting to find the best of it. And if they keep going for these Group 2, Group 3 class races, they'll stop running to the likes of I'm Excited and Eduardo and even Bonsaway, who will be stepping up to Group 1. If they just pay, you know, put Quilista in these lower grade races, I reckon it'll snag one, potentially at Moonee Valley, actually.
Surely there's like a fillies and mares race going around, some sort of group race for the breeders or something like that as well.
There's always a breeders race, mate. Right. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else on the rest of that race, Drew? I think that's pretty much
straight on to race 7.
Oh, well. The Bart Cummings, 2,500 metres, and they went pretty bloody quick, just under 9 lengths faster than the average. And, Avilius, what can you say? I mean, Drew, this is probably your wheelhouse of this little horse, but has been dominant since arriving in Australia, and no doubt people will be considering him very strongly for some of the cups coming up.
I am shocked this horse is Melbourne Cup favourite. I'll put it straight away. It's got 54.5. Its ratings from overseas aren't good enough. I think its last 200 metres told me that it's not a 3,200 metre horse. But, you know, if we get an out-and-out staying race over 3,200, I'm taking that on every single day of the week. I think it's a good horse. I think it's won a low-grade race when you consider Jamia was barely listed grade rated before it came to the Hayes stable this year. Now, don't get me wrong, Jameer's improved a stack and it's going quite well. But geez, for Jameer to basically almost beat it over 2,500 metres, that's not a Melbourne Cup favourite for mine. Yogi's just, you know, been held up at critical stages, stormed home for third. It probably could have won the race. Look, this is a race that's just been brutally run because of Harrison. Andrew Mullion's not been able to control the horse. Some are saying may have tried to set it up for Avernus Beach, who's pulled up with an abrasion to its near foreleg, so it had a few excuses of not running on. But look, the times are sound for the race. It works out as a good race overall, but I think if you're asking me honestly, if I think Jameer's going to have a better chance of staying 3,200 than Avilius, I'd say Jameer does. I think Yogi's got more staying prowess than a lot of them, so I'd be taking Yogi over the lot of them going up to 3,200.
So I'll do a quick punting form comparison. So Yogi's returned a figure of an overall average figure of around 14 lengths faster than benchmark for the distance. And his overall PB over the same distance is basically 3.5 lengths faster. So is it fair to say that that's not far off the mark for all of these horses then?
It depends on the race shape and where your horse sits in the run and everything like that, because Yogi is a type that'll keep finding. The problem is it gets back, and we know that, and that's what loses at races. I guess if you're asking me if this is the form line based on those figures that could figure up, if the horse has improved, then yeah. But when you look at the information that Dicko's put down for a couple of these horses, do you really think they're going to be finding much more than they've really already shown? Like, I think Avilius is probably already peaked. Jameer's quite close. I think Yogi probably can't get improved much more. So can they go to that next level to find that extra, you know, 2 to 3 lengths you need to measure up in a Melbourne Cup? I don't think so.
I guess the other thing as well is that if they're sort of returning to the racetrack within probably 2 weeks or so, you would want a pretty slowly run race for them to be super competitive. They might need a little bit of a breather in between, but we'll wait and see, obviously. But overall, I tend to agree. That's not going to produce the Melbourne Cup winner for mine.
I mean, I'm just looking at, I've done the profiles for Betfair this week, which will be going up, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. I've spent literally a whole week previewing 42 horses, going through all their runs, all the video, going over their ratings, and I can see 3 or 4 straight away that are better than these horses. No doubt about it.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear, Drewsy. Race 8. Edward Manifold Stakes, 1,600 metres, Group 2, set weights, 3-year-old fillies, blah, blah, blah. We're.
And this is exactly what Dicko said in the text. I can't tell you what I'm going to do here. I can't tell you what to do. Watch the fair late. And guess what? They got it right. Afiramite, I can't say the name correctly, he's got the win. Just quickly on what happened here. So Jukal's had a... led them around a very slow tempo, 8.2 lengths slower than class benchmark on punting form data. So it's really been set up for a sit sprint. You'd think this would suit the leaders, but none of them really being able to out sprint the ones that have sat, you know, 6th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in run of finished first 4. Geez, very elegant. It looks a nice type going forward, I have to say, this New Zealand import. Wasn't pushed out of the barriers, but because of the slow pace, just found a spot midfield. Held up for a long way in the straight and was just really good hitting the line. And when you look at the vision post the line, it's gone straight past Crone and it's already going past a Furyrite. So I think they're going to the Oaks or something with it. And geez, that's a good horse going forward. Look, I think Crone was, you know, sound in defeat. I could not fault it no matter where they go. It might be the 1,000 guineas. I'm not too sure. Probably are backing up in that. It's a tough race to take a lot out of going forward because of the slowly run tempo, apart from looking for horses that you think are going to go up in distance. Now, there was one horse that was absolutely smashed in betting, being Aristia. They tried to take a rails run and just found no luck in running. It'll be interesting to see what they open that horse next start, because they've opened it overs here. It's been smashed in. It's going to get a bad record from that, but it's a forgive run. So we may get overs next start.
Alrighty, sounds good. The final race on the card was the Blazer Stakes, 1,400, set weights with penalties for the mares, and here was Hugh Bowman just at his absolute best. First time I think we've seen it in about, 40-odd starts. I think he's had one winner under $4 in Melbourne. Jeez, it's something atrocious like that. But anyway, he was at his absolute best there, knocking off Savatiano and Mamzelle Tess.
Yeah, I guess we have to count this one. It did open about 480, so it wasn't in the range, but it did get there in the end because it did start 320, so it does get counted. It's not often I would see Kieran McAvoy get outridden, but geez, he just found no luck on Sabatino and just held up at critical stages and just outsprinted by, you know, Invincibella, who was just too good on the day. They led it around only an even clip of Shocko, and the horse didn't find much. Bella Martini was 5.50 out to 11s and ran accordingly. There were some pretty disappointing runs. Platinum Angel, I know it's finished 88 lengths last. I think it had a few issues from the stewards' report. It was, you know, a horse that was meant to be really well respected here. Outside of that, Bring Me Roses, I thought was having a really good run, but it just didn't find anything. La Bella Diosa, too far back, one paced. Tulip got up the inside, hit the lead, but just didn't close off. I'm not sure if it's just, you know, maybe peaked last start, may need a harder tempo. And yeah, Mamsell Test just keeps running bold races. It's one of those races where you look at it and you go, I think the obvious horses have won and finished 1-2. You may be able to follow one or two of these horses going forward, but you look at the drift on Aloysia, it was 10s out to 41s. That told you everything you needed to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a plan for that horse?
They said they're going to try and keep it over the shorter distances, so it shouldn't be going up much further than 1,400 by the sounds of it. So let's say 1,600, 1,800 maybe, which, geez, you would have wanted to see a better run than that. And look, it wasn't bad in the yard, according to Dicko's notes. So,
well, I've just been a bit dour after the last prep, something like that. Just lacked a little bit of sprint in its legs early.
Yeah, and just looking at his notes on this, none of these really paraded badly. It was a fairly even, you know, race from the yard.
All right. Well, Drew, do you have one or two to follow from the meet overall?
Yeah, so I'd just say with a bit of caution, I'm probably not looking for horses that from this race to be going up to the, you know, the absolute Group 1 class. You know, I could mention horses like Ventura Storm and that, but I like to find stuff from, you know, a bit left field. So I think Sun City in the first race, it did a lot wrong. It, you know, finished off well with a bit more tempo, and I think next start, or if it just jumps better, it can run very well and get a win. Spanahead, I think back in class or back to, you know, Wednesday grade will be, you know, getting a good price for it. I think Aristia will open well overs next start, and the New Zealand horse Peaceful, I think, also is a hidden run that I'm expecting double figures next start for it.
Outstanding. Drew, anything else that we want to mention with regards to Victorian racing for this week?
Oh, look, I think this is probably the pinnacle of racing for the year, looking at the fields. And I know it's a big call this far out from what we've got coming up, but you look at it and you go, we've got the Everest and we've got some really good group racing up there. We've got the Caulfield Stakes, the Toorak. They're absolutely sensational fields. Get to see old mate Jungle Cat returning, who I think is going to be a really good price. I think we're getting double figures, tens at the moment.
Oh, the cat.
Yeah, like that price is just stupid. And then we've got the likes of Ben Battle, who I may have taken at a really stupid price of $14, who has gone up 5.50 favourite now in the Caulfield Stakes, which is no surprise in a weight for age race when you have the highest rated horse that's ever come out to Australia getting a run in it. Like, why were they betting 14s? Why were they betting 21s 2 days before that? I will never know, but that is the advantage of people looking ahead for the internationals and getting a price set.
Well, Drew, you've put in the hard yards over the last few weeks, few months probably even, and it's all going to pay off. We can't wait to get a read of the published work on Betfair later this week. Should be outstanding, and hoping to fill up again like last year with old mate Rekindling.
There are probably two to three out there that I think will be getting some good odds, and yeah, hopefully they're already secured runs, I'll put it that way. Those are the way I'm looking to go with the horses.
Oh, outstanding. It'll help me pay for a few more trips over there. I'll be fat. All right.
Looking forward to it. And Pete, thanks for joining me today. You've been a good fill-in for the captain.
No worries. I always try and keep an eye on Flemington because it's about 15 minutes after Perth racing. So it just gives me enough time to do all the notes, freshen up and find a TV and start seeing if I can have a couple of cheeky bets in play. It's a little bit tricky, though, when you're two borders over. It's almost like the postcode rule. You probably shouldn't bother, but technically, you know, if Belmont or Ascot doesn't find out, then technically it's not cheating.
So just in terms of this week for Europe, Belmont Wednesday, and then where are you off to on Saturday? Bunbury?
Bunbury, 2 hours down south. That's Luke Dayton territory. old mate nice. Gates. Unfortunately, he's going to be working for the meet, which is no help to me whatsoever. But yeah, that is the plan, and then I'll be flying up to Geraldton at this stage on Sunday. So yeah, it's a busy week. Lots and lots of punting to be had.
Sounds good. And I just mentioned, I have a feeling that Dicko may be moving from the Wednesday Bendigo meet to the Mornington Thursday meet for this week, but we will confirm that to everyone via text who is on the Victorian list and the punters pack and all that. The yard pack, sorry. That's on.
Sounds good. When too much racing is not enough racing, that is the next couple of weeks.
Perfect. Thanks very much. Have a good one.
Go well, Drewsy.